Let me turn this TV down too.
Yeah, we don't want to hear ESPN. Na-na-na.
You know, and you know that's what I'm listening to. Even though my squad ain't playing.
Y'all on bye week?
Yeah, we got a bye.
Are he dedicated then. He got the gear on the bye week too.
Oh, that never stop. The gear never go off, bro.
All right, good stuff now. We've got sound down. Fellas, welcome back to the podcast. I know a couple of you have had a couple of races, and obviously the forefront, though, we've got to talk about, obviously, Corey's got a new job, and we need to get him a Jordan starter pack. We need to talk about that. Because I think Phil set a new rule. Do you want to tell the rule of the group now?
Yeah, if Corey ain't got no, CJ ain't got no J's by his next race at the Expo, he kicked out the group. We're going to have applications open for the new member.
It got to go.
Wait. Can we make this by the world major? I don't know if we're going to get it by Honolulu, man. I'll just be honest. Can we get this rule? Can I get an extension to Tokyo?
Bro, there's still time. I mean, like, I just got the AJ5s, yeah, the Navy ones, and they're still available, so... Get the sneakers app. Bro, you know what to do.
At Christmas time coming, bro. Christmas is coming. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying.
You can get a pair of ones.
This race before Christmas. So I have to have the Christmas extension at least.
When is Honolulu? When is that race? The 10th
of 10th.
Okay. I give you your first race after Christmas, bro. So if any of CJ people are here listening, for Christmas, do need a pair of J's. I'm telling y'all, some ones, some lows, some fives.
No, some threes. CJ, you be right. You be all right in some threes, bro, for your first pair. You be straight.
Some threes? Okay.
Yeah. I better not see you in those Birkenstocks or those Crocs in Honolulu in those photos as well.
I got the Birks on right now.
That's just post-race.
Hey, it's Hawaii, man. I might step in some Jesus threes, man. You know, just some sandals.
Man.
You might go barefoot, to be honest.
I cannot do sandals. I do not. I can't do sandals, and it really irritates me when the dudes be wearing thong sandals. I can't do it.
Let's talk about that. Why is that irritating you? I love that.
I don't like the look, man. Thong sandals is not the move. I'm a shoe guy or a sock guy. That's about it. I can't. It's not like how I'm, I don't know, man. I just can't. It's nothing.
I mean, if it was a choice, the thong sandal would definitely not be the first one off the rack if I'm looking for a sandal.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, I think, yeah,
when
imagine
you,
that
when
was
you're like, a runner, when you're a runner, you got ugly toenails missing, blood under your nails, all that anyway. So you got to go with the closed
hey,
toe sandals.
Whoa. Yeah. Hey, I get my feet done.
I was going to say, he get his nail painted and all that. He get his toes. I should have known that, man. I knew that was coming, boy.
You should have known that. But I don't get the nails done, so... Listen, I'm high maintenance. I get the feet done after each season. So during the season, yeah, you're probably right. After each like little block, I get the feet done. I make sure I get my eyebrows threaded here and there.
Oh,
I don't know how. I thought he was going to go toward feet and pedicure.
Yeah,
and
know.
He went to the eyebrows threaded. Wait a minute.
All right, another rule. If if Rob get his eyelashes threaded again, he out the group, man.
No, look.
We're not doing that, man. We're not doing that. Nah.
Let Rob explain us the benefits of this. There has to be a reason for this.
First off, I'm not trying to have the Anthony Davis eyebrows, and I'm trying to have my stuff on fleek every time I step out to the race. So I make sure I get the eyebrows done right. If you can handle the pain of getting your eyebrows threaded, you can finish a marathon.
The pain of eyebrows threading.
Is that how you justify it? It's painful enough so that when you in mile 23 of the marathon, I remember when I would get my eyebrows threaded. I can do this.
Oh, yeah. 100.
I'm not going with that, man. I'm not going with that.
Hey.
The next thing he going to be telling us, we get some eyelash extensions and make us run fast. I'm not going with
doing that. Nah, but you got to make sure that the toenails, fingernails are done. They nice. I don't get a paint or anything. But
you don't get no clear coat. You know they offer the clear coat to men when they come.
Yeah, actually, I almost did one time. I almost did. That's really the thing, though. That's actually on the trend right now. A lot of dudes are doing the.
I'm not on the trend, then I guess. I'm off the trend. I ain't no trend guy, man. Nah.
I heard it makes you faster, though.
I guess I'm gonna be a slow turtle the rest of my life. On life, bro. I'm gonna be slow forever.
You're not breaking me.
Yeah, never.
They can scrub the callus off after the race. They, you know what I'm saying? Get me right. Do the little massage thing. You know, it's great. But that's where it stops.
Hey, listen, so look, when we get to Boston, since you ain't going to be there, CJ, Marcus, Phil, look, we got – I'll set us up our eyebrow appointment.
No, sir. No, sir. Hey, I will not see Rob when I get to Boston, man.
You going to see me.
Hey, PK, Rob say it's on the house, man.
Yeah, I see my girl. She can go get her eyebrows done with y'all. I'm going to skip.
You going to see me.
I'm gonna be at the bar drinking beer, man.
It makes you aerodynamic.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, that's too funny.
Yeah, I'm cool with that, bro.
Do you know what I mean? You look at it and you think, okay, what am I gonna regret the most? Not training enough or not doing my eyebrows? I mean, I'm not gonna be Mark 23.
I can't believe we were talking.
I did not
about
do my
it.
Damn eyebrows. All right.
I was rocking with him. I could kind of go with him on the cologne. You know what I'm saying? If he want to smell good, that's cool. But nah, we can't do eyebrows, bro.
Look good, feel good, run good. It ain't failed me yet.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. And you worked for the Versace, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Versace me. I was there. With a new PR. I'm telling you. The results.
Smell good, run fast. It's going to be a t-shirt, to be honest. I want to get back into Indy real quick, though. But CJ, tell us like how things are going with your Honolulu training.
Yeah, honestly, this has been a challenging block from getting sick. And now I actually have it.
Are you doing the Phil tactic of sandbagging us? Oh, it's so hard. I didn't even run like a 236.
You know, I mean, that's not a bad strategy.
I'm doing the same.
Still lights it up. So. It is what it is, but now I'm dealing with a slight piriformis injury. It's literally just like a couple years ago when I was building for Indy, and I had that hiccup with the piriformis issue. It feels like it's so weird. It's like because it's not your sciatica, but it's like the piriformis is right next to it. So when it gets inflamed or it swells, it can irritate it, and so it feels like fatigue. So you can't really get that power as you're running off of it. And then it just feels off. So as soon as it happened the other week, I was like, ooh, immediately. I knew exactly what it was. So I just shut it down. Been running easy. Gonna take it easy. Probably again for the next week just to make sure that I can get back to higher intensities. Mm. But with Tokyo being, 11, 10 weeks right after Honolulu, I'm just going to run by feel. I'm going to take the PK. We're going to see what happened in Honolulu. We're going to see what happened. We're not going to stress the time, but we're going to see what happened. We're going to give a good effort, have some fun, and then really hammer it for Tokyo.
So that sounds like two sets of Jordans for Honolulu and for Tokyo.
PK said I got till Christmas.
Yeah.
I get the Christmas extension.
Yeah, you get the Christmas extension. It's the season.
Get that, you might go fund me.
Yeah. We should put that on there to us, yeah.
I come back from my run today, I see a GoFundMe, I'm gonna fall out.
You're gonna have to share the GoFundMe though. I ain't gonna lie, I'll be Jay. CJ stepped in from there with like 20 pair of J's. He got all the ones I've been trying to get, like the taxis and all that, man. I'll be mad about that. So
I can see it happening though. But bonus points though, if you do like a PK and you've got like coordinated at least four pairs for each race.
Oh, man.
So we got to talk about the choices that you brought for New York as well.
Man, for New York, I was like late on packing. So like, I got off work that evening. I was like, I'm trying to put together packing and my shoes and all that. And I, you know, I wanted to take the new Cherry 12, but I pulled out my New York jacket from 2018 and it was blue. So I'm like, dang, okay, the jacket blue. I like the Knicks, that's blue. The Giants, that's blue. The Rangers, they got blue and they stuff. So I said, all right, I'll go in here and grab some stuff with some blue in it. So I went in the room, grabbed out like four pair with blue. Threw them together and it kind of like, I kind of liked it. So I went with it.
I like the AJ3 Wizards though as well.
Yeah.
I think that's my first guess and that was on there on the list. So
the Wizards. I would have wore the Cav 4s if you had the Cav 4s because they low key passes Nick colorway anyway. The Cav 4s are nice.
Good shout. Good shout.
I don't have too many pair of 4s, but I might add a few. The Breeze that's coming out next year, I'm going to have to grab them up. The all blacks, the leather. I said I wasn't, but the more and more I see them, I'm like, damn, I'm probably going to have to get them.
They do look nice.
And then, you know, Marcus don't help. Marcus don't help today, y'all. He just had to drop them shoes, man. I've been looking at them, too. I've been looking at them. I'm like, man, nah, bro. You need to chill out, chill out, chill out. And then Marcus dropped the picture on you. Boom. Look what I got.
All right, hold on. For context, though, at the start of the year, right, in our WhatsApp group, Phil, you put it like, I've only got two Jordans for the year. I swear down, like, every week it's been like, here's some 12s, here's some 4s, here's some 1s. I'm like, you've gone over that two allowance, like, months ago. Do you know what I mean?
Man, didn't he, though?
Well, I got carried away for a minute, but I was trying to get a hold to myself. Because once I got the cherries, I was going to be cool, so... So I got the cherries, I got the double up pair, and then I was like, I'm going to chill out. But then I seen the 5s coming out. And I like them, but I was like, nah, we ain't going to do that. We ain't going to do that. Then here go market. Boom. Look what I got.
You try to get hold of yourself. I like, you got to try a bit harder.
Hey, and then I've been in COVID quarantine since I've been back from New York, so you know it's been hard for me not to pull the trigger on something. I've been on just...
They say it's 5 days now. You're 5 days, man. Them 5 days
up, bro. I got back Tuesday, man. So I need to do something.
He just been right, wearing
your last day.
He's been right, wearing Jordans tomorrow. He's been wearing Jordans around the house just to reminisce.
I think even Robert, when you were in Indy, you were doing some work for one of the companies you're working with, and like PK picked up on you wearing Jordans at the expo.
He got on me for not wearing Jordans at the expo, but I was actually like working for a shoe company at the expo, so I wasn't wearing anything crazy. I was just wearing
what shoe company?
It was just like a local running store here.
Man, I'd have had on J's. They gonna say I'd have had them on, man.
Man, I ain't gonna let nobody mess up my J's working in retail. But nah, it was cool. He definitely called me out on it though.
All right, going back to Indy, can you give us like a bit of a behind the scene of, obviously you were running as elite. Can you give us like an idea of what that's like, behind the scenes type vibe?
Oh man, when you're the slowest in the room, it's nothing. It was cool, man. It was definitely cool. So being in the elite field, I was without my girl Hannah. We were supposed to do the race together, but she had to pull out last second due to bad sinus infection, things of that nature, and she couldn't get right before the race. It was the right call. She's been looking good lately in training. Just a little update on her, but I mean, I was in a fast group. I was with the lead group for the women OTQ, and I run with Hannah, like I said, so I know what type of competitor she is and things of that nature. But like to see a whole group of girls like that, it's definitely like real eye opening. Like them girls were fierce, man. They laid it all out there. I was happy to share the pavement with them, to be honest. It's like for once I actually saw I mean, I've been beat by ladies before, but I actually see these ladies beat me now. Like, they pulled away then. Like, I just didn't have it. But no, it was cool. Being in – the best thing about being in the elite category, depending on how the race is set up, is definitely the pre-race, and you don't have to wait at the porta potty lines. We was in a building, had all the bathrooms you can want, had all the carbs you want. It's all warm. You get your own little warm-up area, like outside and inside. So, but the, like I said, number one has got to be the bathroom. So you can come and go as you please. Last second, you don't have to worry about lines. So I loved it. It was cool.
But do they give you like any like unique information, I guess, at the briefing? Like, for example, I imagine you're not supposed to like stop your watch as you cross the finish line, see if you were going to win it or you're in top three type thing. Anything like that, that I guess the amateurs would love to know.
They did give a briefing, brief meeting before where we like got our armbands to get us into certain areas, things of that nature, as well as the water bottles. So, yeah, the water bottle section is super dope. Like, you get your own bottles, things of that nature. I mean, I didn't do it. I just went with the cups and called it a day. But, yeah, they break it down to, like, they got to exact science. Like, which table has your bottles? It won't be, like, anything like you saw at Berlin as far as, like, for the regular people, for regular folk like me for the most part. There's no searching for your bottles as you're running. But, no, it was really nice to have all those extra benefits.
Oh, it makes sense. Can you give us like a little play-by-play breakdown of the race?
Man, so honestly, this is the first race. Like, I've lost that mental edge in the middle of a race. And it was kind of scary. So we touched on it in the last podcast. My mom is going through like a little health scare. Well, it's not little, but she's going through a health scare. And then like I'm warming up and I see my wife. As I'm doing the strides in the lead area, I come over to her and she's like, all right, you got this. We're going to have a good race, blah, blah, blah. I was like, man, I don't know what happened. I got emotional. I was like, I don't want to race. Like, I just want to go home. Like, I think it was hard because the race was like literally right by the hospital where my mom is at, laid up, being poked and prodded all day. And I'm sitting there like running and I feel like I should be with my mom. Now, I got emotional. Like, I'm tearing up. She's like, your mom would want you to run the race, this and that. I was like, I don't want to run. I don't want to be here. I just want to leave. So imagine having to go run 26.2 miles. You don't even want to go do it. Like, you don't want to be there. Like, I'm not locked in. But then they call for the elites to head into the corral. I was like, dang. All right. My coach sees me. He doesn't know I had this little breakdown before the race. He gives me a fist bump and says, let's go get it today. I'm like, all right. Like, I fake like I'm locked in. I'm not locked in. And after the first mile, I got locked in, so I was cool. Then mile 23 came. Mile 23, 24, I can't really remember. I kind of lost it. Like I said, I lost my mental edge. And like, I'm running and tears coming down my eye. I was like, oh. I'm back to, like, week one of my mom's scenario. Because the first week, everything happened with my mom. Every time I would go on a run, even though I needed it, for like therapy, like I would always break down in some tears, and it hasn't happened since like that first week. So I thought I was like solid, and I'm running a marathon crying, bro, trying to keep 6 minute pace flat. I'm like, oh, this is not good. And so I kind of went on like cruise control, which it's not that big of a difference. Like, it was my slowest mile. It was like 6:12, but it was enough to like me fall off pace a little bit, but I sucked it up. I got locked back in. I finished with 2:38, another PR by like a minute and 3 seconds. So I was like, man, I was so grateful. As soon as I crossed the finish line, I saw my coach. I broke down in his arms. He just gave me the biggest hug. He was so, at that point, he knew what was happening. He was like, yeah, I needed that. Then I got my medal, walked over to the wife, and just, you know, just more tears. But I was happy to get it over with. I'm happy the season's over with. Now I'm just reloading, thinking of a new strength regimen for next season and the Boston block coming up in December. But yeah, I'm locked in now. I'm good.
No, thanks for sharing that. And like, I think it just shows you're human as well. And like you said, I think being so close to the hospital, like, it is a big trigger as well. And you go into a race really emotional as it is. Yeah. So fair play to you and the wife to like to try and like not like dismiss that feeling, but like acknowledge it and still kind of work through it as well.
I mean, the hard part, another hard part was I spent about 3 to 4 hours a day with my mom. And that Friday, the day before the race, she was not having a good day. And that, like, the whole night before the race, I just wasn't in my usual race mood or anything like that. And she kept asking if I was okay, my mom, my wife. And I was like, yeah, she could tell what it was, but she didn't dig too much. I was just quiet, chill. It wasn't my normal self. I was like, man, I just want to. So I actually ended up going back to the hospital to check back in with her because I spent all day with her. And I went to the hotel, checked in. And then I went back up there that night and she was doing a little better. So it gave me a little bit of calming. It calmed my nerves some. Then it all hit me again in the morning.
Nah, it's completely normal, man. Now, thanks for sharing that as well.
Yeah, no problem.
And also, like, I think we were speaking beforehand, and you're saying your mum's doing a little bit. We won't dive into the details, but I think your mum's doing a little bit better than before. So that's, like, really good news as well.
Yeah, it's a slow grind. Like, look at us, right? We grind, we see our results, and then, like, sometimes you see them instantly, but, like, with her having a stroke and things like that, like, one day, like, dang, like, I leave the hospital, like, yeah, that's my mom. Like, she getting back somewhat. And the next day, it's, like, complete 180. Like, it's like a zombie. And, like, man, what happened to the progress that was made yesterday? So you just got to learn that, like, there's going to be a lot of ups and downs, and you can't just snap your finger and she's going to be all right again. I do know, like, for the most part, I'm never going to get my mom back, like, the mom that I grew up with. Like, there's going to be some more disabilities than what she already had from being in the Army. But, like, there's even more. Like, I've lost that person. I think I've came to that. I'm set on that. So I'm over that part. Now I just got to learn to accept what will become of my mom from now on and just go with it.
That's tough, bro.
Yeah. It put a lot of stuff in perspective, though, man. Like, you know, like some of the stuff that we kind of get uptight about or get down about for is like race times and stuff. And it's just like, man, this is, you know, real everyday stuff and real life stuff is way different from just how did I do with this marathon or whatever. It just puts stuff in perspective for you to where, you know, no matter how good it might be on race day, I try not to get too high and I try not to get too low. Because, you know, I had a similar situation like that back in 2022. And it was a situation where, you know, I lost my sister-in-law and just having to look at go through that whole process, man. Like, I stepped away from running for almost that whole year until, like, late summer. Yeah, so, I mean, family, you know, that to see that type of fight and to see how that can affect, you know, your day in, your day out, your rest of your life, basically, is way more serious than any race or anything like that, like a gold time or missing a time or whatever.
And like what I tell people running, marathon, whatever, it's all, to me, it's way more mental than it is physical. And that it's a perfect example, those two examples that we gave, because like, obviously I could physically run a marathon, but like mentally I was not there. I didn't want to do it, but I found a way to get over that hurdle. And like I said, it's hard enough to run 26.2 miles anyway, but then not want to do it and then try to talk yourself into doing it and then break down in the middle of the race and still complete the race. Like, that was all mental. Like, physically, I have the body, I have the skills to do it. But mentally, if you're not there, you're not going to complete the race.
Yeah, man, you're human. I think it sort of shows, like, obviously, the fitness there as well. And like you said, it's not about the PR, but you got a PR, which is incredible with that stuff happening. Like you're saying, before, during, and after the race as well. Like, obviously, there's so much in the build-up. So fair play to you and, obviously, to the family as well. And I don't know if this is a new thing, but I saw your daughter was there as well at the race line. Is that something that you started doing as well, isn't it?
my oldest, she's been to, she was at the Chicago Marathon, and then she was at the Indy Marathon the year before, well, the half marathon. So that was her third race that she's been to. Actually, four. She was at a 5K two summers ago. But she's getting older. She understands the process, so she, I allow her to come. The other two are slowly but surely getting there. My middle one, I plan on taking my middle one to Chicago next year for her first marathon with my oldest. So we're going to have two kids there. That should be interesting. But to cheer everybody up, hey, finished the race, got the PR, and I PR'd every race, every distance I did this season, 7 for 7. So that's a big dub. I mean, it's hard enough to complete races and then meet your goals, but to do it every time you stepped out there, I was pretty pleased. I mean, I feel like I left time out there for sure. But overall, I'm happy with how the season played out for me.
Yeah, man. Makes sense, man. Like, I think you did the best you could on the day. So I think respect to you. And in the build up to that race as well, you were doing like Ask Me Anything. So actually now looking back at it, I can see it's probably a way to take your mind off what's happening there. And I asked you the question about like what country song would perfectly describe your mood. And you went for Good Times Go Too Fast by Dylan Scott.
Oh, yeah. And it was crazy. When I saw the question, I was like, oh, this dude would ask the question. Because I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm the only dude on here that listens to country. But I mean, yeah. I don't listen to it like that. I'm not like super like country. But I'll put some in there. What's up, Phil?
Hey, man, how was that course, man? I looked at the little elevation map, but it didn't look like a fast course. So it looked like if you a flat course
is dope. Yeah, the Indy course is dope. Yeah, it's flat and fast. Honestly, a lot of people use that course to qualify for Boston. It's a fast course. I mean, we had, I want to say, at least several LTQ people, men and women combined. That, like I said, I was with the lead group for the women the whole time. And They were killing it. At least I had a teammate run 2:17, and he just recently hit 40 or 41. So it's, you can get some times out there, man.
Okay.
You got to come through.
I agree with that. It's fast because one, you're getting typically great weather. You're typically getting great weather. It's going to be in the 30s and 40s for the race. And then I think like the elevation, I think like the biggest hill was like mile 10 around there, right before you get to that neighborhood or something like that.
Yeah, but
other than that, it's not much. And then after that, you could just.
Right, I might do the half next year. I might show up for the half.
I'll do that with you. I'll do the half with you. Depending on what pace you try and go, I'll run it right with you because hopefully I'm in New York next year. So
you're going to do Chicago and New York next year, bro?
Oh, yeah. I'm not worried about that. Okay. I'm used to doing a marathon and then turn around and do a marathon within 3 to 4 weeks. Like, that part don't scare me. But, like, I wouldn't do – I'm not going to run that half hard. But I'll run it with you for sure and show you around the city while we run.
Yeah. Yeah, I might come do the half next year.
But I'd love to have you out here. Welcome to the city. City boys.
I'll look into it as well.
City boys up.
Yeah.
I'll look into it too. I told my cousin I'm going to try and get out there next year in Indy. So I'll look into it.
Oh, man. I got to tell you about this. So as Phil said, I was working the expo, right? And I'm helping a customer. He said, man, your voice sounds so familiar. Like, I feel like I know you from somewhere. I was like, oh, yeah? And I knew where he was going with this. And he was like, you know, Phil, CJ Marks. I was like, yeah, I'm the last guy that you didn't name. he said, Rob, right? I said, yeah. And he said, you love the cologne. I said, that's me. So I had like a little bit of clout. I was on cloud 9 rest of the night. He asked to take a picture with me. I was like, let's go. Shout out to my guy, though. He ended up getting a PR in the race, so I'm happy for him.
No, fair play to him though, to be honest. I love the fact that you went to the end of the like the line. It was like CJ, Marcus, Phil, and you're like Rob. You know what I mean? Rob.
That guy that puts on cologne. Yeah, that's him.
Oh my god.
I told y'all are superstars. I'm just trying to catch some clout off y'all. People ask y'all about me all the time. I'm like, dang, what about me? Like, what am I? I'm like the eighth member of the Jackson 5, bro. That didn't even exist.
The backup. On the sub bench. I want to go back to something. I know I talked about the country stuff before, but like one thing, it was so curious about this. So I Googled uplifting country songs. And the second one came up, no word of a lie, Live Like You Were Dying. I was like, really? That's inspirational. And the first one was Bless the Broken Road. I'm like, this is not inspirational at all.
I was going to say some Kane Brown, but I feel like that'd been too obvious because like, he light-skinned, I'm light-skinned, so nobody would expect it, the other one, so...
Bro, that went over my head. I have no idea who he is. I've got to Google him as well. I wouldn't have judged you. Anyhow, but I want to go back to the point though where you said about like doing Chicago and New York. I can still see Phil just like taking a big suck of air, like, oh Lord. And on that segue, Phil, you obviously did Chicago and New York as well. Want to talk a little bit about that?
Man, really? Nah. Man, right now, I don't want to even think about a marathon, man. Honestly, like, I was telling a friend the other day, I was like, man, I don't even want to talk about the next marathon. Like, New York, I can honestly say now, I've ran New York before, but honestly, after running four of the majors this year, I ran Tokyo, Boston, Chicago, New York, and New York is by far the hardest. It's harder than Boston. It's brutal, man. It's a brutal race. But it's also a great race though because you see all the different countries is there, all the different nationalities, all the different cultures in the city, people out cheering, and so it's a great race. But man, it's you got to be ready to put in some work. You got to be ready to put in some work.
Why do you think it's harder than Boston?
I guess it's cause the hill placement. Cause like at Boston, you know, you got. The first, 14 miles, you're going to kind of can ride that downhill. You can kind of ride that, you know, you got a few little rolling hills, but you can kind of ride Boston to 14. And then you still got another mile where it's kind of flat and then a drop. And then about 15 and a half, 16, you climb to like up and down to 20. And then once you get to 20, I mean, if you got anything left, you can kind of ride that to the finish line. New York ain't like that, man. New York, you start out on the bridge for the first mile. It's all uphill. And then, you know, you roll into Brooklyn. Brooklyn's so lit. Caesar and you and Rob, y'all love that. So,
but yeah, Brooklyn, that's all I heard.
Brooklyn lit, man.
Yeah.
I was so surprised.
That's why I saw the stories.
Brooklyn was lit. I can't even lie. You can, like, look at my splits, and Brooklyn was the fastest part of my race. But you got Brooklyn, and even in Brooklyn, you got some ups and some downs, like some long inclines and, you know, a few little twists and turns. And then you start hitting some bridges, man. You start hitting all those bridges, and then you would think, like, they'll start telling you and you hit the Bronx, you know, everybody be like, this the last bridge, the last damn bridge. And you like, okay, cool. You in Harlem, it's flat. And then you get back to Fifth Avenue, and you go back to running some of the biggest climbs you're going to have since the Queensboro Bridge. And this is at mile 23. So 23 to the finish line is like a fight. It's like a fight. And
I ain't worried about it.
Oh, you ain't got to worry about it. It's going to be there. It don't matter if you worry about it or not. So you ain't got to worry about it, but it's going to be there. You just got to be locked in for it. I mean... If you talk, I mean, they did an interview with the female winner, and they was asking her about Boston in New York and which one was the hardest. And she said the same thing. She said
New York.
She said New York, and she's like, Boston, you know, the last six is, you know, it's kind of flat because you're mostly going downhill. She said New York is not like that though, man. If you look at the way they were racing that last 3 miles, the women's pack, that right there tell you how hard that race is.
On top of what Phil said, like, that is, from what I heard, that's very true about New York. And then, like, when it comes to Boston, I mean, everybody has different skills and weaknesses. But, like, overall, I just feel like people, they think hills and get a little intimidated. I honestly don't think those hills at Boston are as bad as what people will say they are. I think they give them a little bit too much respect. Like, my first Boston, I give too much respect to those hills. And second Boston, even with the bad Achilles, I was like, oh, yeah. Like, this is nothing. Like, and it's just all about preparation. But, like, you just can't. Don't be scared. Like, you just gotta go in open-minded, I feel.
Boston is just technical. If you really, like, look at Boston and break it down, you got four little climbs. And they, like,
max.
All four of them, the longest one is, like, 0.5. And you're gonna get some downside on all four of those hills. So you're gonna recover and pick up some of the speed you lost going up it on the backside of it. New York, it ain't no backside. We finna help you out after 23. You just come here and get some more. Even going towards the finish line, man, it's a hill. I was listening to some guys talk about the last 800 meters, and they was talking about how long that 800 meters, that couldn't have been 800 meters. And you believe it because most of it is you climbing, so you working so hard, and you're like, this got to be longer than a half a mile. Because you're working so hard, even in the last 800 meters of the race. But the thing that make that race go is the crowd, man. I think after running it the second time, like, hands down, New York crowd is, like, second to none.
Yeah, no, I agree. New York was my second marathon major, and that was the one that kind of kickstarted me to go for the six. But, like, I completely agree, like, the crowd is phenomenal. I mean, the London crowd are amazing, but, like, New York is something else. And I completely agree with what you're talking about with the course. It's like with Boston, like, you know, up to 20 miles from 15 and a half, I mean, to 20, you know it's going to be work. But then the last 10K, you've got that kind of, not breather, but you know what I mean? It's a little bit downhill. Whereas New York, it just keeps on rolling. You don't get to mile 20 and think, all right, now I'm going to attack, because even then it's too early. And I'm pretty sure Mebbe said something similar like that, like mile 21, 22, 23, it's still too early to attack. Like, it's just that last 10K after the first 20, it just beats your legs up. It's such a hard marathon. Yeah. So, and the fact that you ran sub 3 there as well after running Chicago, I mean, man's blessed. I mean, Black Jesus strikes again.
Phil's the goat of the group. He's the best one in the group. He got it like that. He ran it with COVID.
And that's the crazy part, man. All right, so y'all know how I was telling y'all in Chicago, I was telling my girl to text me the projected finish times, right? So we get into the race, and I knew I was taking that first mile real easy because I wasn't feeling it beforehand. Like, my heart rate was all out of whack leading up to the race, and now I know why. And so I got into Brooklyn, like I say, the crowd was lit. I was feeling kind of good. I got back down to, you know, 620s, feeling good. And so I was like, I passed the 5K and she didn't text me. I got to the 10K and she didn't text me. So I'm like, dang. So I called her. I called her during the race because I had my earpiece in this time.
What? So you got it like that? Man.
Oh, man. Nah. You just get to a point where it ain't a lot of people loud. You can just say, hey, Siri, call such and so. So, dang, now Siri trying to call somebody.
We got to keep that part.
So, anyway, you know, so she answered the phone and she really didn't want to answer because she thought maybe something had happened because I was already not feeling the best. So she was like, hello? I was like, babe, why you not sending me the splits? She was like, oh. She said, I didn't know you wanted me to. I guess I can. She like, everything okay though? I was like, yeah, I'm all right. And she was like, okay. So then she started sending me some splits, like the next, like the 15K split, she sent me that one. So then when I got off the Queensboro Bridge, because you know that's work going up the bridge, and got on the First Avenue, now I'm getting text messages like, you need to slow down. Your heart rate is 180. Your heart rate is 190. You need to slow down. And I'm like, dang. But yeah, that race was wild, man. I'm gonna tell you what'll help you though. If you can find a runner, or you can find people, you know, that you're trying to help, or you know, somebody to run with, that'll make it more doable. And I was in Brooklyn and I saw this guy that I recognized from Instagram, and I just pulled up on him and chatted with him a little bit, asking how he was feeling, kind of telling him about the course, trying to see what he was trying to do. And he was like, he was trying to run a PR, and I was like, well, I'm gonna tell you right now, you better be, you know, just take it easy right now. You should be chilling right now. And then, you know, really chill all the way till you get to about 22. If you're feeling like you still chilling at 22, you good. You can probably fight the last four. So me and him kind of ran together most of the race.
How did he do?
He ran 256. He ran 256. Nice. So we got into, when we got back on Fifth Avenue, it was crazy because I thought I had passed him, and I thought he was a little ways back, but when we got on the bridge, he caught back up with me, and he was like, bro, you doing all right? And I was like, yeah, I'm cool, because I was purposely going a lot slower going up inclines and stuff, because I know that was going to elevate my heart rate. So he took off on the bridge and got in front of me, and then I was like, I'll just catch up on the downside of the bridge. And so coming off the bridge and got on the First Avenue, I was able to catch back up with him. And then I got out in front because he was like, he was still feeling good. And then maybe like we got into Harlem, we was together. And then when we got to Fifth Avenue, man, like I say, at 23 or 24 is all uphill. Even after you hit 24 and go into the park, you still hit a lot of rollers. And it was about 24 and a half, I hit a roller. And it was crazy because I was going downhill. And at that point, I could really feel like my heart rate was out of whack, because it was like, you know, like you hyperventilated, or like you, your heart fluttering or whatever. So at that point, I was just, I definitely bagged off at that point. I was just like doing the runner's multiplication in your head, addition and subtraction and all that, and trying to figure out what your
math.
Yeah, you're trying to do the calculator, the pace calculator in your head. And at that point, I was like, nah, I'm going to have to pull it back. I'm just going to make sure I get on the three so Rob don't kick me out the group.
Oh, man.
And I was like, if I don't go in the 3 hours, Rob will kick me out the group.
Hey, that's the bylaws. That is the bylaws, you know. That's what we stand on, business.
Hey, I had other people texting me too, though. So I was like, I can probably piece together under 3 hours. If I just, you know, stay consistent, don't fall all the way apart.
I still find it like really interesting, like how you can sort of pay attention to the race whilst getting all that information to head, like especially like the splits, because like you've run New York before and like you don't run New York evenly. Boston is like a race of three races, right? New York is more than that. It's like, how do you take that into context as well?
For me that day, it was going to all be on effort anyway. Kind of like I did Chicago. Like I was just going to run it on effort. It's kind of like, if you watch the majors and you watch some of the elites and they say how they run in the first 20, they're not locked in on no pace unless it's Kipchoge or somebody going for a world record. But if they're not going for no record, they just running. They run in a pack. They trying to be comfortable. They looking for signs to when they can make their move or whatever. And then most of the time people make their move around 20, 22. So I had to learn to do a marathon. You got to kind of think like that. I mean, we all train for a goal time, and so we know about what time we're going to run. Are we capable of? Mm-hmm. But it's still at the same time, you can't just, like, lock in on that pace and just say, I'm going to stay here regardless. You got to kind of, like, let it come to you. So if you're feeling good, then, yeah, go with that pace. If you're feeling real good, you might go 5 seconds, 10 seconds under it, but you don't never want to go 30 seconds or – cause that red line, man, you push that red line too far, you're gonna be walking towards the end. That last 10K it'll be hard. So for me, I was just running it off a field. Like if I'm going uphill, long inclines, I'm dialing it back. if I'm going downhill, I'm a good downhill runner, so I know I could make up time there. It was just, you know, the first 20, 23 miles, 24 miles for New York, you better be, like, running well within yourself. It ain't time to say I'm finna go for it.
Yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense. And, like, I think it's really cool that you go back to the effort part, because I think that's really important, because, like you're saying, with New York, you can't really judge it like 5K, I should be running 19 something. You know, you can't work it that way, because, like, each section requires something different, and you almost have to can't, like, judge yourself too harshly for certain aspects of the course. But like you're saying, if you've got that sort of framework of, like, okay, within 30 seconds or something like that, then at least you kind of generally know there or thereabouts, right?
Yeah, because the first half of New York going to be way better than the second half. Like, you're going to be slower on that second half. Like, the second half of that race from 13 to 26 is, like, the worst part of the course. Because at 13, you just not starting to go over the first bridge into Queens. And then at 15, 16, you going over the Queensboro Bridge. And then, you know, 17, 18, 19, you going all the way up First Avenue into the Bronx. At 20, you hitting another bridge. And it's brutal. And then it's not even over yet, because you get to 23, you back on Fifth Avenue, and you hitting some more rollers.
Before we kind of move on from New York, I've got to give a shout out to Allison Staples, who I coach, and she got a course PR in New York. She smashed it.
Let's go, Allie.
Let's go.
Big I dub. Saw her at the expo, man. I saw her at the expo. So shout out to Allison.
She looked like she had fun out there, Twinus. As much fun as you can running 26.2 in New York.
Yeah, she was ready to go. She was ready.
She had her eyebrows done. That's why.
Oh, my word. Yeah, definitely played part of it. I would also say, like, the amazing coaching as well. I mean, I think, you know, that goes without saying.
Yeah, I give it to you.
Humble brag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But coaching makes a difference. Makes a difference.
Yeah.
So shout out to the coach.
Morgan's got some sub-3 runners in his stable, man. He got some sub-3 runners in his stable. So he big time coach.
Let's go, Marcus.
I'm not big numbers, so, but the people I do work with, they've all PR'd in the marathon. So enough of my sales plug, and I'm going to move off me. So yeah, my running, I need to, so you guys are giving me, like, an update. Post Berlin, I've done nothing because I got injured during the race, as I told you guys before. And I've just been back with my physio, and we're doing, like, really short stuff. 2 times per week, 5 or 6 reps, 2 minutes running, 1 minute off. So it's really low. Like, I'm running like 4 miles per week. So I could tell, like, Rob is just like, he's like, what? 4 miles? Like, that's not what a warm up.
That's crazy.
Bro's killing me. But yeah, I'm getting back. I'm feeling strong. I'm not feeling the pain in my tendon as well. So it's good. Before actually Boston, I'm actually going to be doing the Bermuda Triangle Half Marathon Challenge, January 12th to the 14th. So that'll be a lot of fun. I think that's, for me, that's going to be more about vibes and just enjoying it as opposed to going out and racing.
Cool.
But yeah, that's basically me for, I'm just trying to live for you guys. But obviously I know, Phil, you've just recently finished New York, so you're probably, like, enjoying the time off, right?
Oh, yeah, man. Right now I'm trying to get rid of this COVID, man. So, yeah. Especially with COVID, I'm probably going to just, like, no 200 miles this month. Probably not going to hit it next month. I'm just going to chill.
Yeah.
Just get some. I'm gonna get back to. I'll tell you what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a fast half marathon. I'm trying to find something to get back to where, you know, you enjoy running, because I've did 4 marathons this year, and marathon training is brutal, man. Like, the race itself is brutal, yeah. But the training plus the race is really tough. That's why, you know, I guess that's why the elites only do 1 or 2 a year. So,
yeah. Hey,
I'm gonna take some time off and get ready for some half marathon.
Hey, Phil, Indy has a great half marathon, the Indy Mini. The only negative about the Indy Mini is it's, like, I want to say maybe 2 weeks after Boston. So I've ran it the last 2 years, but I've been the first year. I mean, it was cool. Last year I was injured when I ran it, but it's a fast course. You run on the racetrack that's very well known, the Motor Speedway. You'll like it, man. Yeah. I'll set you up here.
Give me the information on the monumental, man. So what you got to run for, like, a master's elite to get into the elite field for master runners?
That's a perfect question. I know who to ask. So my coach actually handles all that. So I'll see him Tuesday. I'll definitely get back with you.
Yeah.
A slight change of pace, really. One thing I wanted to talk to you guys about was Sydney Marathon. So recently, Abbotts and Sydney did a joint post talking about the age group world championships, and they've been awarded a provisional star for their participation. And they are also a candidate to become a Abbott World Marathon major. And they kind of left us all kind of hanging by like a little carrot there. Basically, they're saying that if you get a provisional star there, then that potentially could count to the seventh major. What's your kind of thoughts on that?
It's crazy.
People getting the star?
I'm there.
Yeah.
I'm going to Sydney.
Nah, bro. They had to do that, but like I've been a part of I've done the last two age group championships, world championships, and they was asking about that because at first they said they didn't think they was going to do that. And I think after the debacle they had in Chicago with the age group championship, a lot of people were saying they weren't going to go to Australia to run a race that's not a major and to pay the extra money for the entry to do the age group championships, and then it not even be a major. So a lot of people weren't going to go. So I feel like they just done that to try to get more people to come to Australia to
what
do it.
And I still think,
man, like, we did it in – it was in London the first 2 years, and it was nice. Like, Marcus, you was at the post-race when they had – where Kipchoge was there, and they had a little dinner. They had rented out a nice little spot. Man, Chicago, it was no post race, nothing. Even in London, they had a pre race and a post race get together. In Chicago, they didn't have either. They just had like race day where Chicago had where you can do the VIP tent where you do the massage and all that. They just made that open for all the runners that was participating in the age group championships. And with that being said, they watered that down to where that wasn't even good because there was so many people. They didn't even have, like, your gear check. We had a separate gear check. I hear where a lot of people, they dropped the ball on finding their stuff. Like, people said they waited hours to get their gear check bag, and they was getting their bags off the ground when somebody else had it and went through their bag and just left it laying on the ground where they were giving people the wrong bags and stuff. So I think at that point they was like, we're going to have to probably guarantee these people where they don't have to come back and do the race as a major, but I still think a lot of people probably ain't going to go. I won't be there next year. I'll be in Berlin. A lot of people saying they're going to probably do Berlin for the 50th versus going way to Australia for a race that may or may not become a major.
I think it's a tricky one, though, because like, if it was a provisional one and you got the star there, so you ran next year, it would still take the shine off it. Do you know what I mean? If it was to become next year, you'd rather get it in the race itself. I'd rather just wait.
Exactly. And that was my rationale behind it, because why run it when it's not a major? I go run it when it's not a major. It's not as many vendors. It's not as grand. The gear is not as nice. And then y'all give me the start. And then the next year it's a major and y'all put all the makeup on it and make it all shiny and special. And then I don't go run it. Like, that don't even make sense.
Could you imagine, though, like, hypothetically speaking, if it went to Cape Town the 7th and you spent all that money going to Sydney, you'd be pissed.
Yeah.
<You'd> be like...
and see, that's the other thing. It's not even guaranteeing that it's going to become a world major. So you go run it as the age group championship thinking you're going to get that provisional star. But if they don't, you know, add it on, then you don't even get the star anyway. So you still just went around a race that, unless you were planning on running it, you know, next year.
It's too much
Cape Town, beautiful, man.
I think once it's confirmed, then I think people will be a little bit more settled. Do you know what I mean? Like you said, the thing is, well, Berlin is like, I think it's either the week before or the week after. I think it's the week after Sydney. But, you know, I'm saying 50th year. I think a lot of people are going to be running it. I'm going to be with Rob in this one, actually. I'm not looking to run it. I'm going to be going for Chicago next year. I think me and Berlin, we're just not good friends right now. We just need a break. I need to come back.
Hey, that boy Kevin Kipton got y'all hyped, huh? Y'all say, forget Berlin. That's not the fastest race no more. Chicago, the fastest race.
Nah, I mean, Chicago's just dope. I definitely was in my feels about missing this year, so I got to go back for sure.
I'm gonna do a CJ then next year. I'm gonna be in Chicago. I'm gonna be on the Elite Spectator.
I'll be an elite spectator, man.
I'll be an elite spectator for Chicago next year.
And it's easy to get to multiple spots in Chicago. That's the great thing about cheering out there. Like, you can start out at like the 3 mile mark, the 5K, and then you can hop over and you can get to the halfway mark, and then you can take the train and you can get down to Chinatown, and then you can catch it right back up and get to the finish. Hey. Like, it's easy to get around.
Hey, get that camera ready for your boy. Get some good shots.
Yeah, I'll be out there.
Hey, I got that new. So, you know, I got action mode and everything. I get you inscribed.
Yeah, I'll be out there. I'll be out there in Chicago next year, man. Spectating.
So here's a question for you, CJ.
Yeah.
If I'm correct, this is just random because somebody asked me this yesterday and I said I was going to ask you because I believe you're the only one on here that is a Sunday long run. Is that correct?
Yeah, my long runs are on Sunday now.
So, me too, bro.
Okay, so my typical schedule is Monday, cool. It's an easy run. Tuesday, easy in the morning, high quality evening. Wednesday, easy run. Thursday, moderate to high. Friday, easy. Saturday, long run or a workout that's 16 miles. And then Sunday, easy run. So how's your schedule if your long run's on a Sunday? Because I couldn't do a Sunday long run just for the fact that I want to make sure that I'm fresh going into the week because I usually do doubles, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you – like what's your high quality, moderate quality days look like?
Yeah, so the reason it got changed to Sunday was because when I was sick, I ended up just moving back each day. And so once I moved back each day, I just left it there. So I'll start the week on Tuesday and make Monday as my rest day. So I do have a follow-up question for you because every day you just said you were running. So I want to know, like, when is actually your rest day? But typically I take a full rest day in the week. So I'll start on Tuesday now. Tuesday will be, now it's a double, but one of the runs will be on rolling hills. So I'm actually seeking hills on that easy run. The evening run will be easy. Just trying to get a little flatter surface. The next day will be an easy run. And then the day after that will be my quality session. And marathon training will typically be a threshold type effort. Mm-hmm. And then the next 2 days will be easy runs. Typically the day after a quality session will be a little easier than the other days. And then I'll have the long run, which falls on Sunday since I started the week on Tuesday.
Okay.
So I don't do too. I mean, you can say the hill work is more like a quality session because it's gonna require a little bit more effort because you're looking for elevation. Typically, I'm trying to get like 500 or more mm-hmm. when I'm looking to get that elevation and gain average. But yeah, typically it's just one big quality session, midweek quality session, and then the weekend long run alternates between easier, just getting the distance time on feet, and then actually running at specific paces.
Gotcha. In that long okay. run. That makes sense.
And then for you, because you was like, yeah, every day you running, like, are you like on a 10-day like training cycle and like this 10th day you rest? So like how, like, are you run streaking? Like, what's going on with that?
There really is no rest day. So I break my days up in paces. So like my Monday, so we'll do my double schedule because I usually do my mornings on the treadmill besides Thursday and sometimes Friday. So like Monday, my coach doesn't want anything below a 7 minute pace. So it's a 7:03 because that's how treadmills are. 7:03 pace on Monday morning. And then Tuesday morning, I'm running at 8 minute pace, just easy 6 miles because I got a hard practice at night. And then Wednesday, I found out after about several months of working with my coach, if I go to an 8 minute pace on that Wednesday, my legs actually hurt more from the night run because there's just you don't have much recovery. So I do a 7:30 pace and I feel much better on Wednesdays. And then Thursdays, it's moderate to high quality, so it's pretty fast on the track. And then Fridays is another 8 minute pace. That's usually 10 to 12 miles. before the long run on Saturday. And that's either going to be long run pace of like 6:30, 6:20. And then if it's not that, it's usually below 20 and there's a workout in there, like 10 miles at this rate. Then Sunday is usually 8:30 pace, 4 to 6 miles. So I build a lot of my easy miles are easy. And then the evening miles when I do doubles are also 7:30 to 8:30 pace. So, I mean, there's no rest days, but I'm not going hard too much. If that makes sense.
I think what's really important too. So for anybody like listening to the podcast and like they're hearing us throwing out these paces for easy runs or how these how our plans are constructed so that you're doing an easy run before the quality session for you. You're saying going by feel and running at that 7:30 instead of the 8 pace, you felt better. I think it's like important when you do work with a coach, like you're listening to your body and you're communicating that with your coach so that when it comes to, you know, being ready for those quality sessions and those quality days that you're, you know, you're ready to go on those days. Because when it comes down to it, that's what's important. Like, you know, you're going to get your easy runs in, you know, stay with your aerobic base and, you know, stay building up that mileage. But you got to be fresh on those quality days like to really, you know, get after and you're going after specific times. You really want to get those confidence boosts that you're able to hit in those workouts and then also challenge yourself. So I just wanted to highlight that because that's super important, that communication factor. And then when you do have a coach that they can work with you to make sure, you know, you're ready to go and feeling good for those sessions and making those necessary adjustments when you're not.
What I love about my coach, all of his private coach individuals like me, we have an end of year race season meeting, and we highlight some stuff, pros, cons, look at the overall mileage, things of that nature. But with me, I have mine coming up this week, and I have some notes I want to over my season that I like, man, what if we change this around? Or what if I do this? Or what if I do that? So, like, for example, when I was injured after the Indy Mini last year, which was right after Boston and the Achilles and everything, I had to stop running. I had to. So to stay in shape or keep my breathing straight, I went to the row machine for like 15 minutes straight, like go hard all out on the row machine. And no matter how good a shape I'm in, when I'm on that row machine, I always feel like I'm out of shape. So that really pushed me. But then I do 15 minutes straight on that. And then I do an hour on the bike, on the spin bike, high resistance, and pretty much just stand on it the whole time and just ride hard. Pause. No, ride the bike hard. And then, so I'm asking him now if I can incorporate that do a 30-minute bike session before my easy runs in the morning. To work on strengthening my legs and stuff, because I felt my legs get really strong during that time. And I feel like if I do that with my next block being Boston, I feel like it's going to be even better for those hills. So we'll see what he says about it.
I'm glad I coached myself because sometimes I do long runs on Mondays.
Oh, no, it's over. It's over.
But nah, it'd be like sometimes Sunday.
You're resting, you're Black Jesus. I mean, come on. That was running on Sunday.
Yeah, I might not feel like getting out.
You can though. Run any day of the week. Like, it don't matter.
Yeah, so sometimes.
You make weeks.
But no, it's been several times when my long run will fall. It just won't happen on Sunday, and I just go out there and do it on Monday. So mine, I set mine up kind of like CJ's, where I'm off on Mondays. So that's why, you know, sometimes I switch Mondays and Sundays around for us all. But I just do two workouts a week, easies in between. I think this next year I'll probably add in some strength training on one of the easy days. Or maybe I even heard some people say, you know, add the strength work in on a hard day. So I might try
that. That's usually how people break it down. They keep the hard days hard. Like, that's the motto. Keep the hard day hard and the easy days easy. So after you do like a quality session, speed session, then do the strength later in that day or like right after it. So yeah, you ain't got to worry about it when you're really trying to recover your body on those.
I used to do leg days on Fridays right before my Saturday long runs, and they felt fine to me, but my coach didn't like it, so I moved it to Wednesdays, which are right after my hard Tuesday runs.
Yeah, so that's all, man. Like, if you're gonna do high mileage, then yeah, the 1 day a week or no days, and then if you're trying to get high mileage, then definitely doubles. But I tend to don't do doubles unless I'm trying to chase down mileage, and then I throw some doubles in there. And those definitely be both easy, or maybe one easy, one moderate. And then, like I say, you throw the two workouts in there with the long run. I know some people do long runs just all easy. I tend to always throw some marathon pace stuff in there in the middle, maybe 30, 40 seconds off, a minute off, just depending on the day. But nothing too serious.
Okay. I think just going back to like what Rob was saying about the bike, I mean, is that something you'd consider doing as well? Just using the bike to get extra aerobic base without actually having the impact on legs as well?
I remember when I first started running, like my track that I use is like 4 miles from the house. And I remember I used to ride the bike up to the track, and going from my house to the track is like elevation. And I remember I used to hate riding that bike to the track. I'd be on a hill pedaling. I'd be like, man, I can get off this bike and run faster up this hill, and I can't pedal in this bike. But I used to do that quite a bit. But like since then, I once I started trying to get the mileage in, I just didn't have time to really do anything else. Like no strength training, no cross training, just run, rest.
And prayer, obviously, as well. Ladies work to you.
You always have time to pray, man. I pray before every race, man.
I love the way you're not sharing the secrets. You're just making it seem so easy. Just like, you know, just move around.
I mean, I thought that was just coming. Like, everybody know prayer works, just man. If you run a marathon and you're not praying to God at mile 22, yeah, you special. Because it ain't no race. I'd be like, oh, man, all right, Lord, I need you to carry me the rest of this way because I've did all I can do.
Bro, Lynn, I was praying at 17K with that freaking injury. So, yeah, that came way too early.
You said it's 17K. Oh, yeah. See, that's probably too
early. That's a lot for 10 miles, man.
I was like, Lord, this is like too early for this to go wrong now. Come on.
Oh my
god. He said, that means you doing something you didn't need to do.
Man, I was thinking about this though, like it's like the advice that we normally would give to other people, like we don't take it ourselves. Like looking back, I should have probably dropped out of that race, but just being so stubborn, you're just like, no, I'm here, I'm gonna do it. You don't really think, all right, I'm gonna be out for this long, you know? It's crazy when I look back at it.
Yeah. You block, hey, but you still got it in, man. Under 3 hours.
So, yeah. Is there anything else in the running news environment that you kind of picked up on?
I see where your boy Kevin Kipton said he's going to try to go under 2 hours in, what's that, Rottingham Marathon?
Wow.
I saw that.
Yeah, he said he's going to run. I was surprised that he's running that marathon, but they say that's one of the faster marathons out there. So I was like, well, that's like a February race, right?
They must be paying him enough to do it. Yeah, though, you think, surely, I don't know. Who knows?
That's the same thing I said.
Yeah.
They I was surprised he bypassed Tokyo, which is around the same time, and he still would have time to recover, but I guess Rottingham is one of those fast courses.
And there's a lot of pound signs or dollar signs or whatever following that as well.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Nike got some chips in there too. You know, if he break the 2 hour barrier in a race.
And you kind of half believe him now, to the time he's been taken off. He's still so new to marathon running. It's just insane.
Three marathons.
It's insane. Is that what you were going to say, Rob, as well? You were about to say something.
What super shoe are you looking forward to the most dropping next year? Because, I mean, with the last couple of races that have finished up, there's been more leaks and stuff about stuff that are in the workings for next year. I know me personally, I recently came across the Asics, the Metaspeed 3s. I can't wait because I'm team Asics for the most part. So I'm definitely copping those.
You were like kind of on the fence though. You were kind of like about to leave Asics, but you came back.
Yeah, you ready to jump off the fence last time. Like, No, he jumped up on the fence and me and Marcus pushed him off of. We're like, nah, stay on that side. Keep that same energy.
That's funny because several people after the race, after I posted pictures, they was like, oh, they talked you out of it, huh? I was like, yeah. Hey, y'all had me shook. I was like, y'all had me shook.
So I was like, nah, don't come over here on the Nike side of the fence. Get back over there.
No, I got Nike. I'm just saying, like, I haven't worn the Nikes in a marathon since Boston my first time. It's been the Asics, and I was like, man, I found my bread and butter. And the shoes I wore for my last marathon, I wore them in Berlin. Berlin got a PR. I wore them in Boston, got a PR. I was like, oh, I go 3 for 3 in these. I'm like, why go against the grain? And then y'all were talking to me. Y'all had me scared. So I was like, oh, yeah, I ain't changing. I ain't doing that.
Y'all know what I'm looking forward to, man. CJ ain't put them in the mail for me yet, but y'all know the one I'm looking for. The Alpha 3.
February?
Man.
Is that before Tokyo?
You know, I think the Alphas don't do it for me.
I think they're in January.
I got to try these Vapor 3s, but yeah, the Alpha's done.
You don't even like the ones?
The Alpha one? That's what I got. No, it hurt the inside of my foot. Yeah. I got a hot spot when I was running Boston. I got a hot spot, and then I was running a long run in them, and it was still there. So
I'm saying, what part of your foot?
The inside middle part. Like, where it get real narrow.
Yeah. See, the Alpha is for, like, 4 foot strikers. You got to stay on them pods. If you ain't up on them pods, you're going to suffer. And see, the 4 foot
strike, but then I let the shoe sometime do work. So then I mid strike.
Nah, you can't.
And I need that mid strike so I can take, you know, some pressure off trying to run at pace when I 4 foot strike.
That's you wouldn't have that problem in A6, bro. A6 gets you right. Asics, go ahead and sign me if you hear me.
I'm saying, you know what? The Vaporfly would be the shoe you need, then, CJ.
The Vaporfly work perfect for me. The Vapors ain't steered me wrong yet.
Yeah.
I want to try the Asics, but, you know, I need your Kinect.
Hey.
So let your Kinect know, you know, I'm looking for another shoe for race day. Don't they sponsor Tokyo? we need to holler at some people.
That's crazy because they had a release last year at the Tokyo Marathon that only released over there. It was a pair of shoes, and I was like mad. I was like, man, why can't I get those over here? They were dope. It's very similar to the training shoe they got, the Magic Speed, but I forgot the name of it. It's not Magic something, but it's very similar to that training shoe. It's got a little bit of carbon in it. And I was like, man, I want to get my hands on it, but. Nah, I don't got them.
The Alpha 3s, I believe that's going to fix that hot spot issue, though, because now it ain't a gap in between there. They kind of going to fill that in.
Okay.
So, and they made it a little wider. So, I'm really thinking that shoe going to be, like, for people that was having a problem with the hot spot or whatever, it's probably going to fix that.
I still feel the Alpha's is a tricky shoe.
I'm looking forward to the On.
Okay.
On's got a carbon coming out, another carbon model. I mean,
no real talk. That On Cloud Surfer, my favorite shoe right now. My favorite shoe.
And that thing,
it's comfortable.
Yeah.
Like as soon as you put it on, it's like, dang, this feel real good. Then you go run and it's like, it still feel real good. Then you finish the run, it's like, it still feels good.
Look, he's trying to get that
shoe in my arsenal right now.
He trying to get that.
It's a racer. It's a racer.
No, it's an everyday trainer. This one is an everyday trainer. So now I'm really curious about their racing shoe. If it feels as comfortable as that Cloud Surfer, I'm on board.
I'm ready to see the newer one. I mean, like she won Boston in it and Berlin. I mean, not Berlin. New York in it. So I'm definitely trying to see what that's about.
I know a guy that's an own rep. I ain't never really looked at none of their shoes like that. I might have to try them out, though, especially if I can get a hookup.
Hey, Phil, plug this in. Plug me, please.
Yeah, plug us. We need to plug on that because I need another pair of the Surfers, and I'm willing to test out the super shoe.
Okay. I'll get in contact with you to see what
I can see
got.
You do like a YouTube like review of it, like the 3 stages, pre-run, during the run, and after the run. Felt good?
I still want to run.
CJ trying to get paid. He ain't slick, boy. I feel you though. Asics, you hear
hey,
this?
I need a sponsorship. Yeah. I need a shoe sponsorship. So I need my whole training rotation supplied to me.
Yeah, and see, this would be the commercial right here. The first thing CJ with his running stuff on, out running his morning mile. I still want to run in it. Then he got the shoes on with his work clothes. I still want to run him. And then he got his night clothes on with his milk and cookies. Yep. I still want to run him.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
That's the commercial right there. Yeah, I'm about to holler at them, man. Let's see if I can make the commercial and we get all everything worked out, man.
Oh, man. That actually would probably blow up. Hold on, let's go ahead and patent that because I don't need nobody taking that idea from the podcast. That's going to be a hit right now.
Hey, what y'all think about the lawsuit Nike put out there on the Flyknit material stuff?
Skechers and New Balance?
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. But I mean, Nike ain't worried about Skechers or New Balance. But get your money if you can. I get it.
Yeah, Nike, like, get back.
Listen, everybody that listens to the podcast and they love it, pick us up. We try and get them deals. Market. we try and get them deals. And then on top of that, Boston, we're going to try to do a live podcast. We're going to have to put CJ on the TV because CJ ain't coming out, I guess. But we get the live podcast. It's going to be up. Y'all come visit us. We're going to work on some details, get that set up for sure because – I think it'd be fun having y'all out there and we answer questions and whatnot. But yeah, if you want to pick this podcast up, let us know.
We'll get CJ a flight out there.
Well, yeah, if we getting this podcast sponsored, I mean, why wouldn't they sponsor the trip? You know,
flight out there, man.
I will be an inside report. I will report the entire weekend out there if they can, you know, supply my flight and stay.
Hey, all you gotta do is tell me you're an elite spectator, man.
Elite spectator.
That's right.
They got paid spots for elite spectators.
You did an Instagram post actually. It was quite good actually. Post race like review. I can see you doing that actually. Do you know what I'm talking about? When you did that quick fire thing, you chopped it up quite well. Oh, look at him. Which one? Like, there's so many.
Look, man, CJ is the social media guy for the team. Marcus is the jail guy. You know, he's the owner of it. Phil, the OG. I'm the pretty boy. We got it all. We'll use me for the marketing, you know.
Oh, my God, man. I ain't got no comments, y'all. I ain't got no comments.
I'm the same. I can't top that. Fellas, it's always a pleasure chatting with you. Yeah, goodbye for me. And see you guys soon.
Cool.
Deuces. Much love, y'all.
For sure.
Man.